And this evening is not really a missions, going to the mission field or giving the missions message. It's just a message that God put on my heart, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to each one and really an encouragement and a challenge to each one here this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. I just ask if you're physically able, you'd stand as we read these five verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. The Bible reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Let us bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We just thank you for a wonderful day that you've given us that we can just spend with you, put all the other activities of the week aside, and just think about you and spend time with you. Thank you for this evening's service. Lord, I thank you for your word. We just ask that you'll help us as we try to preach this holy word. An unholy servant trying to preach a holy word, impossible. But with your help, you can make your message go forth. Please, Lord, do that. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Here we see in these verses that we just read, God is warning us and telling us how things are going to be in the last days. And I believe as we read through those verses, and I'm sure tonight's not the first time you've read them or heard them, but we can see these things are so true. They describe our world today, not just America, but other countries around the world. And I know we just came through an election, and I was still in Haiti when it happened. And in fact, I was very, very shocked when I saw the result. I could not believe how the results of the election turned out. I thought it was going to be a landslide for Hillary. And was quite shocked to find out the next morning that that Donald Trump had won the election. And as I got back to America, I heard many Christians. I've been on the East Coast, out in Kentucky and Indiana, Michigan, those states. And then as I come across and out here, I've heard many reports of Christians and churches just going to God in prayer before the election time. And I'm not sure it was so much praying for Donald Trump, but praying it would not be Hillary. And just how the people were praying, and then they're rejoicing. God heard our prayers. God did something. But as we've been here in the States since February, well, the middle of February, and been able to visit many churches. Sometimes it's churches that support us. Sometimes just as we're traveling, we stop in and visit churches. But it seems that Christians have just taken a deep breath and said, "Oh, we can just keep on going. Everything's fine now. It's going to be great. It's going to get better now." But when we look here in this chapter, verse 13, here's what the Bible says. It doesn't matter who is president, who was elected, or who's going to be elected in the future. The Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." We could vote in the godliest man as president, but men are still going to continue to get worse. This world is going to continue to get worse and worse. And it's sad to see, and it's many times missionaries that don't come to America very often, you can see changes, drastic changes. And as you come back to America, there's some churches I used to go to and felt like I could really worship the Lord in, I don't feel very comfortable in anymore. The services that they have, they barely have anything. Basically, they have Catholic or Baptist Mass. They come Sunday morning. They don't have Sunday school. They do a little service in the morning, do a bunch of singing up here, a bunch of, I don't know what they call them up here, but just like a group that's up here that's singing songs I don't know. I say a strange song in a strange land. And then that's it. Nothing till the next Sunday morning. People are changing. Pastors are changing. Leaders are changing. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says that we shouldn't be transformed to this world. We should not imitate this world. But anymore, it seems so many churches and so-called Christians, you cannot tell any difference between them and the world. There's no difference. The Bible tells us again back in 2 Timothy now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. Times the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I hate to even have to say this, but the very church where I went to Bible college that trained and taught me in Bible college, I do not feel comfortable in that church anymore. You come to church, they have their service Sunday morning. It's like, did you just come from a ball game? Are you getting ready to go to a ball game? You didn't want to respect God at all? To even try to make a little effort to show some respect? You're coming to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? They want it easy. When I see, and I'm not saying all church, I'm thank God for good churches. Thank God there's those churches that still stick to it. And I find more in the West than I find in the East. I call it Eastern religion. The Baptists got some kind of Eastern religion going over there now. But there's no difference between the church and the world. Thank God for those that stand by it. But it's what I call a comfortable religion. Everybody just wants to be comfortable. Don't make me change my music. Don't make me change my dress. Don't make me have to change my lifestyle, so please don't preach against my sin. So just preach a nice little soft message that won't offend anybody and just bring everybody in and just everybody's comfortable and just, oh, it's so good, and go home. You know what? My favorite preaching is the preaching that just cuts me up one side and rips me down the other. Makes me feel miserable. That's what I like. That'll get me straightened out. Find out what's going on. If I go to the doctor, I'm not well, but I feel pretty well, but I'm eating up with some kind of sickness. I don't want the doctor just to rub me on the back and pat me on the back. Well, everything looks good. Just going home. Man, tell me what's wrong so I can fix it. But this world, and even Christians, so-called Christians and churches, there's no difference between them and the world. But what does the Bible say that we should do? Instead of looking at those around us and, that's what everybody else is doing. Let's just follow along. The Bible tells us, 2 Timothy chapter 3, here's what we should do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. We, no matter what other churches do, what other preachers do, what other church members do, what other people that we used to respect do, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. No matter what other churches do, maybe in churches we used to attend, maybe pastors we used to respect, maybe close friends in the faith. But no matter what others do, we need to continue in the things that we learned. We need to make a decision like Daniel. Daniel, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart. He purposed in his heart. The other ones were eating the king's meat. They were drinking the king's wine. Weren't they from the same royal family? But Daniel didn't look at others. He purposed in his heart. Joshua, what did he say? He didn't look around at others. He says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You may serve other gods. You may serve God in weird ways. But for me and my house, I know how we learned it. And we're going to continue in what we learned in serving the Lord. Tonight, I want to encourage you and exhort you to set some limits, to have some convictions, and set these limits and set these convictions and say, by God's grace and with God's help, I'll not go past that. We've got to have some limits. We've got to have some conviction. It may be with the service of church, how many services we have. It may be the style of service. It may be our clothing. maybe our music, maybe our language, where we go, where we won't go, the type of friends that we have, those that we, for young people, those that we would choose to marry, and our giving. But we need to have some conviction. We need to set some limits and say again, by God's grace and with God's help, I will not go past these things. No matter what others do, no matter what the world does, the world's just going to keep changing. If you're trying to keep up with the world, good chance. I didn't want to say good chance. But, well, I hope you have fun trying to do it. If you're the one that's got to have the newest phone, well, you're not even home from the store and they've already come out with a new one. You get home and you see on the, oh man, they got a new one out. I just bought the newest one and Best Buy and boom, I got home and it's already got a new one. And the world just keeps changing. But you know God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And we just need to set some convictions. I'm not going to base my convictions on the world and what they're doing. And I'm not going to base my convictions on some other Christians. It's going to be between me, God, and His Word. And I'm going to set these convictions. When we set these convictions, look at Romans chapter 14, verse 2. Here's how we need to set these convictions. Romans chapter 14, verse 2. And then we'll skip down to verse 5. Here's some things that some of the Roman Christians needed to have a conviction about. It said, for one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Okay, so they're talking about some convictions. Some are eaten, some are not eaten. But look at verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. But here's what I want you to see about your conviction. Look at this last part. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. When you set these limits as a Christian, when you set these convictions as a Christian, there's two things I want to point out in this last part. First of all, you need to be fully persuaded. You need to be fully persuaded. Oh, well, it's convenient. It's convenient. If it's convenient, you'll go back on it. You need to be fully persuaded. This is how I believe God wants me to act. This is the conviction, the limits I believe God wants me to set. And be fully persuaded. Don't be balancing back and forth. Well, when I'm here, I like this, and here I'm there. No. Be fully persuaded. But then look at again at that verse. That be fully persuaded. But again, look. It says, in his own mind. As a pastor, Pastor Reyes, Brother Fox, serves as a pastor in Haiti until we put a Haitian pastor in. Many times as a pastor, we have to set our conviction even higher than our own conviction. Because if you want the people following you to have your convictions, you're going to have to go a step higher than your own. Because people that follow you are always one step below. Whatever your convictions are, they won't keep your conviction. They're going to be here. And it's right as a pastor, as a leader, to have high convictions. And it's great when our pastor does have high conviction. He has his limits. But let me tell you here, Christians, you better not have your conviction because it's pastor's conviction. You better not set your limit because, oh, that's where pastor sets his limit. Because if your convictions and limits are only pastor's, then one day you're going back on it. It's got to be in your own mind between you and God. This is what I believe God wants me to have. It can be pastor's convictions. It can be higher. My children don't like me to say this, and I'm going to say it anyway. My desire, my prayer, I tell my children this, they don't like it. I'm going to say it anyway. I desire that one day, just one of my children will have higher convictions than dad. And they, you know, children, all children that are here, you're like, man, I can't wait to get out of home. Man, my mom and dad set all these convictions and limits. They're not mine. I can't wait to get out and break them. Wouldn't it be great to see your child have higher convictions than the parent? Wouldn't that be great? You better not have your convictions and your limits because they're pastors. They better be yours between you and God. They better not be your convictions because that's what your church believes, so that's what I do. It better not be mom and dad's convictions. It better not, oh, these are my convictions because they're my husband or my wife's convictions or your friend's convictions. They need to be your own between you and God. Daniel purposed in his heart. It wasn't because his friends, oh, let's don't eat the meat, so I guess I'm not going to eat the meat either. It was between him and God. When you set these convictions, these limits, you make that decision. I want to just give you a couple things that are going to happen tonight. When you set your limits and your convictions and you live by them, look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. When you set these convictions and begin living by them, the Bible says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Look at this, verse 14. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." When you set your convictions and your limits, you set these convictions, these limits. I'm not going any farther than this. This is how I'm going to dress. I'm not going to dress any lower standards than that. This is the music I'm going to listen to. I'm not going to go any lower than this. And set your convictions and whatever it may be. When you do that, there may be some others that stand up alongside you. They were wanting to have the same convictions, or maybe they had them and they didn't know it. But when they say you have the same convictions, they're like, whoa. I enjoy talking to my pastor, Pastor McMath, Brian McMath, up in Valley Bible Baptist in Espanola, our sending church. And it's just interesting. He has six children. I have six children. And sometimes just as we're communicating and talking, something will come up about a limit we set in our family. And when we have the same, it just encourages you. It makes you wax bold. Let's keep it. Yes, there's so many families. There's some of your own family that doesn't have those convictions. But you set them between you and God. And when you stand by them, you'll find that there will be others that'll stand by the same conviction. But sometimes when you set the convictions, there's something else that can happen too. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. I want to give it to you clear so you don't get shocked. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, Paul was talking to Timothy here. He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Sometimes you'll make your stand. You'll set your limits. You'll set your convictions. And you realize, I think I put myself on an island here. Nobody else has this standard. Maybe I went too high. Maybe I've gone too far with it. But you are fully persuaded in your mind. Don't look at others. And sometimes when you set those convictions, those limits, you're going to stand alone. You're going to stand alone. You're going to say, whoa, nobody else. I don't see anybody. Don't worry, okay? Don't worry. When Elijah thought he was all alone, God said, "I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal." There are others that have your convictions. Okay, you may not see them. They may not be around you. But sometimes you feel alone. But even if you feel alone, have I put my limits, my convictions too high? I'm all alone. But even if you are all alone, look at verse 17 and 18. When Paul said, "No man stood with me," but look at verse 17 and 18. He says, "Notwithstanding, even if everyone forsook me, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul said, when I felt like I was all alone, I wasn't all alone. God was with me. And when you set those limits and those convictions that you have, you better be fully persuaded, because you may be all alone. But remember, you're not alone. God gave you those convictions and he's standing there with you and he will strengthen you. You know the saying, I'm sure you've heard it before. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And it always seems it's just our nature, our sinful Adamic nature that's in us. We always want to rebel against limits. They set a limit, that's what we want. Don't go past this line. Well, why not? Don't step up this step. Why not? Let me just, what's going to happen to me? Pastor said don't step down. I don't go to church here. He said, some reason he said don't step down. Why not? Well, human nature says, our Adamic nature says, Why not? Let me try it. But yet there was a weak spot in the floor. I twist my ankle and fall and, you know, break a leg. That's our nature. We always want to rebel against limits and convictions. And many times, as we sit in our church, we hear our pastor preaching, and he preaches about convictions and limits and things that we allow in this church and things we will not allow in this church. Our nature wants to rebel against that. Why not? Other churches are doing it. Why not? I see other Christians there. They said they love the Lord. They're serving the Lord. We don't do it. Why not? But God has put those limits there. And even if you see others going along, God has put you there. But let me tell you, when we want to rebel, our parents set limits. They set convictions. Our teachers, our other people, our Sunday school teachers, other people try to give us convictions. And we want to rebel against those. But let me tell you, our nature says, I can't wait to get out from this church. I can't wait to get out from under these my parents. I can't wait to get away from the Sunday school teacher. Then I'm going to do what I want to do. You better have some limits. Even if they're not pastor's limits, even if they're not your mom and dad's, but you better have some limits. You better have some convictions, because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall into everything. We've got to decide. And I'm sure if I sat down with pastor and we talked, there's probably some things that we have a little different, because there's no two people alike. Husband and wives are not alike. Parents and children are not alike. But you've got to be fully persuaded in your own mind between you and God, but you better set some limits. If you try to go out into this life, you say you're a Christian, you have no limits. First of all, I'm not sure you're a Christian. And if you are, there's not going to be one person to be able to identify you as a Christian, as God's child. Tonight, I want to encourage each one of us. You don't have to have Brother Fox's convictions. That's not what it's supposed to be. You need to be fully persuaded in your mind between you and God and His Word, and set some limits in your own life, in your own life. Maybe there's some children here. Your parents allow you to do some things, but you want to set some convictions and say, even though mom and dad allow me to watch that on TV, I am not watching it. Even though mom and dad allow me to listen to this type of music, I am not listening to that music. Even though mom and dad allow me. Even though pastor, he doesn't have that conviction. He's never preached against that. And I see other Christians doing it, but you want to set your convictions. But I want to encourage every one of you here tonight to be fully persuaded. Set some convictions. Set some limits in your life and say, God, I'm fully persuaded. I believe this is how you want me to live my life as your child. To be a shining light and a bright testimony for you everywhere I go. And these are some limits I feel you want me to have in my life. I don't know if they're anybody else's convictions, but they're mine. You gave them to me. God, by your grace and by your strength, I want to keep these convictions. And when you stand for these convictions, you'll rejoice. You'll rejoice. And you see God working in your life. There'll be temptation, but God will keep you strong. And you can shine as a bright light. Not only will you witness with your mouth, but that testimony that sets you aside, apart from this world, and without even people talking to you that can already identify you. That must be a Christian. This afternoon, we went over to Burlington Coat Factory. I play it in Haiti. I like playing it in America too. We were in Burlington Coat Factory over here on whatever street it is over there. Anyway, I was over there. And just walking through the store, I'm trying to pick out Christians without talking. And I'm just looking. And there was some through. I didn't have all this on. I had my shirt and dress pants on. And I noticed some. I could tell they were Spanish family. I don't think they could speak English. But I just saw the way the family looked at me. And I looked at them, like, we both knew who we were. But if you were in Burlington Coat, I don't know, maybe somebody was. I don't know if you were at Burlington Coat Factory this afternoon. But if you were, or any other store, could they have identified you as a Christian without you talking? Could they have identified you as a Christian? We better set some convictions. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't act like this world. Don't follow other Christians that just follow the world. Set some limits and some convictions. Let us bow for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray you would help us. I know these things are personal. There's some things that we should all have some convictions about. Lord, there's some things that, well, they said there, some ate meat and some didn't eat meat. But they need to be fully persuaded. But Lord, help us to stand for something. Help us to be different than this world. Lord, help the young people, the children, the adults, not to look at each other to set their convictions and their limits, but look to you and decide some things. Say, God, with your help, your grace. These are my convictions that you've given me. Lord, just use your word this evening. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.